A rapid succession of animal eyes. BBC Natural World. A cheetah pads stealthily through a landscape of dried grass and twigs, a low sun casting a glow over its golden fur and sharp black spots. Its paws are almost silent as it walks along, its long tail swaying a little as it goes. Now two of them are flooring a deer.
There are few sights in nature as dramatic as a big cat battling its prey. But cheetahs aren't born ready to hunt. It's a skill their mothers teach them over many challenging months.
A cub bounding along.
What does it take to turn tiny cubs into fully formed predators? To find out, one filmmaker forged an extraordinary bond with a wild cheetah family, and over a year and a half recorded their lives in remarkably intimate detail.
Young cheetahs leaping about.
Thanks to his unique relationship, we can witness cheetah family life extremely close up. And reveal the heartbreak and triumph a cheetah mother faces as she battles to raise the next generation.
A female cheetah standing on the trunk of a slanting tree. Cheetahs, growing up fast. Narrated by David Attenborough.
On Malilangwe Game Reserve in Zimbabwe, a female cheetah has been keeping a secret. She is the mother of five new cubs. This is a dangerous place for such small ones, so she's been hiding them in thick undergrowth. But her secret is about to be discovered. Conservationist and cameraman Kim Wallater has spent his entire adult life filming Africa's wild animals. He had been following the female, gaining her trust, until she disappeared 6 months earlier.
I heard a call on the radio that there was a cheetah with small cubs. And I thought, oh, maybe it's her. And lo and behold, it was the same mother cheetah, and she had five new little cubs. And they were tiny. They were probably just nearly 3 months old.
Like all cheetah mothers, she has no partner or sisters to help her feed and protect these vulnerable cubs. That responsibility is hers alone. And she's just over a year to teach them how to survive in the wilderness without her. But the question for Kim was, would she allow him back into her world?
And it must have been within the first week, I think, I got out and I was filming, and the cubs came right up to me.
A tiny cub squeaking at him.
And the mother just lay over there, she wasn't even looking.
The mother rolls on her back in the sun-kissed grasses. Cubs nuzzle her. One licks her face.
And that was how the whole thing started, and it was wonderful.
The mother's incredible acceptance of Kim would allow him to witness the lives of a wild cheetah family in a way he never imagined.
The cubs trot along after their mother.
It wasn't long and I was walking with them, sleeping with them, and even following them on the hunt.
Kim is walking with them, a camera in one hand.
It's spring, and for a single mother, it's no easy task herding five small cats. But her cubs know her by her call. Over the coming months, they will pay attention when they hear her voice. It's a language we can't understand, but for them, Her meaning is always clear. Her home spreads for 200 square miles between these forested hills and a seasonal river to the west. While this wooded terrain doesn't seem like typical cheetah habitat, she's already successfully raised four cubs beneath this canopy.
Walking along a fallen tree.
But this doesn't mean that her role as a single parent is easy. The forest harbours many enemies, like leopards and lions. Even baboons are too powerful for the lightweight mother to stand up to.
The cub's spots are hidden beneath downy fur.
Their fluffy coats help to disguise them in the undergrowth, but when they're on the move, they need to stay close by her side.
One of them leaps along, and next they're standing together.
Right now, with five hungry cubs depending on her milk, she must seize every chance to feed herself. Her prey, the impala, that thrive in these woodlands.
Her amber eyes seem almost red.
Every other day, she must wrestle one of these powerful antelope to the death. But first, she must lose five little shadows.
When those cubs were really small, it was quite interesting how she would sneak off hunting and the little guys would just know that they had to go and hide and they'd sort of hide away in a little bush and wait there.
She treads slowly along, lifting her head a little, to look through brittle twigs at her prey. The little cubs scamper about in the scrub.
Her hyperactive cubs can't be trusted to keep still. Their play could attract unwelcome attention, but their mother simply can't be in two places at once.
She speeds up.
In open terrain, she can reach a top speed of nearly 60 miles an hour, twice as fast as an Olympic sprinter. But the forest is a hazardous obstacle course for a high-speed hunter as well as her prey.
She grips the impala in her jaws by its slender neck and drags it along. The cubs are still tumbling about.
Dinner's ready, and she calls her family to join her. But what does she want?
She drags the corpse along.
Their bellies are full with her rich milk, and they're not too eager to share her strange meal.
Eating in the shelter of some young trees.
In those early days when she would take them to a carcass and they sort of look at this thing and they'd be terrified. What is this thing? What are we supposed to do with this thing? And then they'd come and they start playing with it and they weren't even bothering to eat. They were just biting and pulling and stuff.
The cubs leap around the kill. One of them goes over to its mother and she licks its face.
It's been a hard day, and she still needs to get a long line of cubs bathed. Grooming keeps them clean, but it's also the cheetah version of a hug, strengthening their bond.
A cub chews her ear.
And then she still has energy for a bedtime game that requires unlimited patience from one of the players.
The little cub clambers over her head.
But she can never totally let her guard down.
She suddenly sits up.
The hours of darkness are perilous for these diurnal cats. And tonight, the mother can't protect her family from their deadliest enemy, Kim had only been filming them for a few short weeks when tragedy struck.
A red sky.
The next morning when I came back, one of the cubs was missing. I searched around and not far from where I found them, there were lion tracks. I can only presume they'd killed the cub. But normally lions don't eat them, so they just kill it and leave it there. And I searched and searched the area for ages trying to find something, but I never could find anything.
The mother has no choice. She has to share her range with larger predators that readily kill competitors.
The mother, in silhouette.
To survive in this forest, she must keep moving her family as far away from the pride as possible.
The cubs walking along.
Four cubs follow her today. They're all females except for one. And he soon captured Kim's attention.
I started developing a relationship with the little male, and I call him Solo.
What happens when cheetah reach adulthood? The males will go off together and the females will go and have their own cubs. But Solo was the only male, so he was going to go off on his own. And it was going to be Solo and my little journey together.
By late spring, the hot, dry season has reached its peak, and soaring temperatures make the family thirsty. The only water remains in a shrinking dam, where hundreds of birds flock to drink. African waters are treacherous places to take a young family, and she approaches with caution.
A crocodile in shallow waters.
The safest place to drink is also the least desirable, a muddy pool near the edge of the dam.
The mother hisses a little as she pads through sticky mud to get to a puddle. As she drinks, one cub joins her, while another is struggling through the clay-like mud.
Solo, in a display of early independence, decides to take his own route to water, but soon regrets it.
His paws sink into the mud as he finds his own little puddle. The other cub's tiny spotted legs are splashed with mud. The mother, always alert, is keeping her eyes on their surroundings as she laps at the water. The three female cubs drink beside her.
Mother is impatient to move on. They can't linger here. There's no cover for her cubs, and they're still too small to outrun danger. But she won't need to rely on the dam for much longer, because the summer wet season is about to begin.
They make their way across the muddy riverbed. Nighttime, and lightning illuminates the sky with bright white flashes that silhouette the trees. Another day, and the family are sitting on a mound of mud.
Rain is a whole new experience for the cubs, and within a few short weeks, the only world they've known looks very different.
Water sloshes across a sandy riverbed and oozes along with a white foam floating on its surface.
The dry riverbed becomes a stream.
Long-legged birds feeding in the shallows.
Then a river cutting off the western edge of the mother's territory. And in secluded corners of the forest, hidden from the family's view, new life begins.
An impala calf, unsteady on its legs, leans against its mother. Storm clouds darken the skies.
As the wet season gets into full swing, they no longer need to risk their lives for a drink. They can lick as much water as they like off each other's fur. The cubs' first summer will be a season of discovery and peculiar playmates. Aroused by rain from its dry season burrow, this one's a little withdrawn around strangers.
The cubs investigate a tortoise that's hiding in its shell.
His sisters soon lose interest, but Solo, always inquisitive, is determined to play.
Solo backs away a little, then sniffs the shell.
Now, if only he could figure out which end is front.
Solo paws at the shell a little, then loses interest. The tortoise pops its head out. Then sometime later, one of the cubs play fights with its mother. They roll around a little. Then three of the cubs play together.
It's been 4 months since her cubs were born, and the mother's milk is no longer enough to sustain their growing appetites. They need to eat meat, and today they're going to find out just what she has to do to feed them.
The cubs race along beside her.
The forest provides a choice of lookouts to help her locate food. Her cubs love imitating her, and an impromptu lesson in hunting is about to begin. First, scan for prey.
She's at the top of a tree, and the cubs are trying to reach her.
Next, get down and stalk it.
The cubs have made it up to her, but she races back down again past them.
Climbing up is one thing, reversing quite another. This is going to take a whole lot longer than she thought.
She calls out to them as they scramble down.
Clearly, climbing such upright trees is not a skill these little forest cats were born with.
One of them makes it down, then another slides along the trunk to the ground. They trot alongside her as she stalks along.
Their stalking technique will improve with practice. For now, Solo is the only one showing any aptitude.
She's keeping low to the ground. One of the cubs spots an impala in the distance between some trees.
As she closes in on her prey, the lesson suddenly becomes more compelling. Watching her is the best way to learn how to hunt.
The impala is grazing. The mother cheetah's head is low, her shoulder blades moving like pistons as she treads silently.
A signal from her tells them to keep still for the next few critical seconds.
They watch her from a little way off as she pads more slowly. She breaks into a run, and some moments later a cub lets out a high-pitched call.
The wait is over, and they're eager to get closer to the action.
She's wrestling with a male impala.
They've never seen her do this before, and their murmurs betray their anxiety. The ram is almost twice her weight. His sharp horns are a lethal weapon. And front row seats have become too close for comfort.
The The mother grips her paws around the ram's head while her mouth is clamped around his neck. He drops to the ground.
She needs to clench her small jaws around his throat until he suffocates.
She lets go of his neck and his head falls heavily down.
It seems to be a textbook kill.
He leaps up.
Except down does not always mean out with these powerful opponents. But Kim had faith in the skills of his superb huntress.
When you see how this mother cheetah would catch a big male impala and then wrestle with this thing, I mean, it was incredible. The strength and the power that she has to just to hold on to that thing and then to bring it down.
The mother holds the ram down once more while her cubs look on. One of the seemingly tiny, fluffy cubs steps forward and begins to nibble at the impala's rump, its eyes now glazed over.
Now it's safe.
The other cubs venture forward and shrink back when their mother gets to their feet. She pants as she stands, as if getting her breath back. She glances about while the cubs nibble at the kill.
Her kill is a triumph for the family, and the little cats have finally developed a big appetite for meat.
The rain pours down.
Even the cold, hard rain is not going to chase them from this meal. But tonight, by lingering at the carcass, the mother is making a fatal mistake.
I left the cheetah in the evening and they had a fresh kill. And when I got back there the next morning, the kill had disappeared. And I found them about half a kilometer away, just the three cubs. And my little friend Solo was missing. So I searched and searched the area.
Kim driving along.
And I found Solo lying at the base of a tree, dead and partially eaten. Probably because they were on a killer leopard had come into the smell or whatever and surprised them. This journey that I was going to go on with Solo had now just suddenly come to an end. And that whole little bubble just got burst instantly.
Kim strokes the bark of a tree. Then later, baboons are silhouetted on a cliff edge against a purple sky. Now, a burning orange sunset.
Predators have killed two of her cubs in the space of a month. This is the fate of many cheetah cubs, and a huge challenge for Africa's most threatened big cat.
Walking in the sunshine.
If she's to keep her last three little ones alive, she can't afford any more mistakes.
Play fighting.
So now we were left with three females, and they were doing really well.
2 months have passed since Solo's death, and the seven-month-old cubs have outgrown the protective cloak of downy fur on their backs. Over the weeks, they witnessed their mother's hunting prowess, and now every free moment is their chance to play at predator and prey.
They chase around, trying to floor one another, tumbling about in the grass.
They're also beginning to make themselves known in the neighbourhood.
An antelope in some trees, then birds taking flight.
Some neighbours are less approachable than others.
The three cubs, now free of their fluff, get to their feet and snarl at the warthog standing opposite them. Next, they're sitting very upright together as the warthog trots away. There's an elephant nearby.
Part of their long adventure over the coming seasons will be learning which animals to hunt and which to steer clear of.
They scamper away from the elephant and their mothers carrying a young impala in her mouth.
And speaking of hunting, their mothers decided that it's time for a more hands-on lesson. It may seem cruel, but the season's live impala lambs provide the perfect classroom exercise for these predators in training.
The lamb springs to life, and the mother cheetah calls out to her cubs as they chase it.
The trick is not to let it slip through their paws.
Pink clouds in the fading light.
It's been a successful few weeks for the mother and her daughters, but that's about to change. One summer morning, Kim arrived to find the family scattered.
The cheetah were everywhere, and I just heard cubs, you know, their little whistles all over the place. But something had happened.
One of the cubs seems to be in pain.
I found one of the youngsters, and this cub was obviously in a bad way. Then I realised it had a serious injury, and it looked like, I think a baboon had probably bit her across the shoulders. You know, baboons and cheetah are a serious problem, and baboons do go for them and chase them. And whenever the mother heard baboons, she'd just move away from them.
Her priority is to gather her family together. But her injured daughter cannot keep up. The cub is traumatized, and to make matters worse, biting ants soon begin to swarm all over her. Kim is concerned that the ants will eat her alive.
The cub blinks away the ants.
Until now, he has simply been a witness, documenting the family's fortunes. He faced a dilemma. Should he help the cub or not?
We sort of have a policy that if it's a man-made injury, then you come in and you try and sort the animal out. But if it's a natural injury, then you don't. Unless it's an endangered species. And in this case, we called a vet in. He came and helped. We stitched up the cheetah, and then we took her back to her mother.
Kim drives along.
Kim's intervention saved her life and brought him even closer to the family.
The cubs huddle together.
So she would have that scar for the rest of her life now. And then that day I decided to name her, and I named her Shinatsi. I just liked that name. It's the name of a mapani tree in the local Shangaan language. And I just liked the sound of the name, and it suited her.
She watches her sisters chasing about.
In no time at all, little Shinatsi is on the mend. Although it will take a few days before she's well enough to run around with her sisters.
She and her mother are lying on the ground, and sometime later, they all walk along together in single file, the mother at the head of the line. Sunlight on grasses.
But the mother's trials are not over yet. There's more upheaval to come. Just days later, one of the other cubs appears thin and unsteady on her feet.
She walks slowly and seems a little wobbly, her eyes half closed, only the white showing.
Within hours, she's collapsed and is bleeding from her nose.
Lying down in the shade of a tree, the little cub mews weakly.
She has contracted a mysterious and deadly illness, and the mother is helpless. She can offer only comfort, nothing more.
The cub has her eyes closed and licks her lips a little, red blood visible on her top lip. The mother pants nearby.
The disease has taken hold so quickly that even Kim is unable to help.
Now, the cub is lying still in the grass, the mother standing beside the body, glancing around. She paces about beneath the tree, but stays close by, and in a few moments, calls out.
Her calls urge her daughter to get up and follow her.
The cub is still breathing.
But she can't. By nightfall, her little one is dead. Despite her best efforts, the mother has lost three cubs in 7 months.
As far as providing goes, she could provide. And that was never a problem. She was a really good hunter and she could provide food. But she couldn't protect them from all that other stuff, and that's stuff which a lot of cheetah can't do.
Now, only two cubs follow, where once there were five. It will take all her skill and a huge dose of luck to get her surviving daughters through to adulthood.
Droplets of water on blades of grass. Now, one of the cubs is clambering over her mother.
Soon, Kim began to notice that the two cubs had very different personalities.
You know, Shinatsi was always more calculating and quite independent. While the other cub, which I named Chinzi, she was more of a baby and a real mommy's girl. She just loved her mommy. And she was really obliging, and later when I needed to track them, she'd let me just walk up to her and put on a radio collar.
The cubs, whose coats are now as vibrant as their mother's, scamper about while she lounges on a mound of earth, watching them. They flit about as they follow her, a herd of zebra in the distance.
Weeks pass, and the rainy season draws to a close. It's difficult to find suitable prey in late summer's long grass.
A cub making her way through sun-kissed grasses, then a spider in the middle of its web. The mother stops to look back over her shoulder to where her two daughters are following her. An elephant is standing in a stretch of river. The cubs are lying in the shade on a riverbank.
The family spots an impala herd on the far shore. But the water in between is an unwelcome obstacle, guarded by ill-tempered hippos. And these cats don't like to get their paws wet.
Three hippos in the water, then an elephant on the bank. The cheetah family are on the move.
The river's gone down since the rains ended, but they still need to find a shallow place to cross.
An elephant crosses a shallow part of the river, passing a wallowing crocodile. One of the cubs tentatively crosses the waterway.
True to their characters, Shanatse makes her way across with finesse. Chinzi, on the other hand, would rather stay on dry land, and she wants to be sure her mother's coming along.
As the mother joins her, Chinzi walks through the water, hissing as she goes. The other runs across.
There's no turning back now.
Trekking through tall green grasses, the herd of impala.
The lush summer grazing has left the herds in peak physical condition. The mother must get close. She can't sustain top speed for very long.
She races across the savannah. The impala scatter, leaping balletically between the young trees. There's a great number of them, and the cheetah manages to single one out, catching up to it. It gets a grip of the impala's back and they zigzag about before they come to a halt.
It's an exhausting struggle, but today, for the first time, her daughters are eager to help her.
They jump up at the impala.
They might have enthusiasm and instinct, but at 8 months old, they still lack skill.
The mother is gripping onto the neck.
And it's not clear exactly what Chinzi's contribution is.
Chinzi's nibbling at the impala's shoulder as it drops to the ground. Its head falls, but it's still breathing.
They've participated in their first big hunt, and Shanatse is eager to claim the trophy. But Kim knew what was coming next.
It leaps up and races off.
Cheetah have this funny thing that youngsters especially, once they've caught this thing and once it's down on the ground, then that's, okay, it's dead now, so we can let go. And then they're surprised, but hey, it's got up again.
Everyone will go hungry today.
Golden leaves.
By autumn, their forest changes colour, and the mopane trees that gave Shanatse her name start to lose their leaves. Change blows in on the cool winds. One morning, two strangers arrive.
Two cheetahs walk stealthily through golden grasses.
It's a coalition of brothers with only one thing on their mind: to mate with the mother.
She chirps at them.
Unlike other big cats, cheetahs do not typically kill cubs that don't belong to them. All the same, Chinzi seems frightened.
The mother pats one of them with her paw.
The mother's aggressive response should leave them in no doubt that she's not ready to mate.
Sniffing the ground.
But they're not taking no for an answer. They follow the family deeper into the forest.
One of the large males leaps into the clearing where the family have stopped.
Chindra's persistent cries are not helping the situation.
The males walk off together.
The brothers aren't giving up. They're after a scent that will let them know that she's come back into estrus.
Side by side, they sniff the ground.
And when that happens, she will abandon her cubs to begin a new family. It's as if Chinsey knows this and objects.
Chinsey taps one of the males on the leg and he turns suddenly. While Chinsey rolls over, the huge male steps closer to the mother who chirps at him. One of them sprays a tree trunk.
Their advances are premature, but they'll be back.
They trot off into the evening together. Now, the family are up a tree.
Shanatse and Chinsey are still too young to make their own way in the world, but their mother's running out of time to get them ready for a life without her.
Time passes, and a mist over the savannah almost glows gold in the sunlight.
Months pass, and the chilly start of winter marks the sisters' first birthday. They're growing in confidence and now approach hunting practice with determination.
Something squeaks in thick grasses.
A bush piglet has been hidden in the grass while its mother is away foraging.
The baby hides in the undergrowth.
Catching such small prey should be a walk in the park.
One of the cubs reaches out for the piglet, prodding it.
But their mother is still providing for them, and they seem to think this ferocious little snack is not worth the effort. For the moment, elephant dung is a much more compliant prey.
The cub plays with the dung like a cat with a ball of wool.
They'll sometimes see a piece of dung over there and they'll go tearing after it and then grab it and hit it and then another one will come in from this side. And it's like a game of soccer to them. They love playing those sort of games. And then they'll stand there with this piece of elephant dung in their mouth looking really stupid and, hello, it didn't run away.
Mist drifts over the river in the light of the setting sun.
By late winter, the forest has turned bare and cold. It's over a year since Kim began filming the mother and her five tiny cubs, and now her daughters are nearly the same size as her. But they still depend on her guidance and wisdom. Especially when it comes to their archenemy. This morning, they've wandered into a pair of lions, members of the same pride that killed her cub. In their evolution, cheetahs sacrifice strength for speed, and now their only defense against these powerful cats is to flee.
As the lioness speeds up, the cheetah races off. The lioness watches them.
Chinsey and her mother are ready to run.
Shanatse is closer.
But Shanatse's sudden bravado could cost her life. She's no match for a male lion four times her weight.
The male lion is making its way towards them.
The mother has already lost one cub to lions. She'll do what she can to save another. And she sees to it that they quickly retreat. Shanatse needs to be much smarter next time if she's to survive alongside these deadly enemies.
Speeded up footage of rolling clouds.
As the months fly by, time is running out for the sisters to perfect their hunting skills. Today, they've managed to catch a gewisbok, a secretive forest antelope.
Having dragged the little antelope under a tree, they descend upon it, but it manages to get away.
This adult might be small enough to wrestle, but their technique still needs considerable practice.
They drag it back again, one of them lifting it by the haunches in its mouth.
If they don't silence it quickly, it will attract other predators.
One of them grabs the little antelope by the neck.
Shanatse finally gets it right. While their mother keeps a nervous lookout. Bitter experience has taught her how exposed they are at a kill.
She pants furtively.
It's a small victory for the sisters, and not their last. Over the coming months, the demands on their mother to feed them will lessen. Until one day, she will know that the time has come.
She licks the face of one of her cubs. Time passes, and the cubs have grown to almost the size of their mother.
Nearly a year and a half has passed since Shinatse and Chinzu were born. And although their mother's made mistakes along the way, she's done everything in her power to get these two survivors this far.
They lap the water from a pool, then stand in the shade of a tree.
Now a fresh instinct is beginning to take hold of her. She's preparing for another journey into motherhood and leaves her scent where it will lure passing males.
Standing with her back to a tree, she sprays the bark. The grown cubs wander around her.
Her daughters might not realize it yet, but this simple action marks the end of their childhood. Everything will be different from this day onwards. This remarkable mother's work is finally done.
The mother walks off into the tall grasses, leaving the cubs behind.
By some mysterious communication, her cubs know that this time they cannot follow.
Sitting together side by side, the two young cheetahs watch their mother walk away.
These strong, healthy cheetahs are a product of her labour and devotion. But are they ready for a life on their own?
Kim, sitting on a huge rock.
Kim had been anticipating this bittersweet moment for months.
Well, I knew from the start that one day the mother would just up and leave them and the family would begin to dissolve. And I suppose I was prepared for it.
But their mother's abrupt departure hits Chinzi hard.
She was so distraught at Mom having disappeared, and she called and called for a couple of days.
She calls out.
No, and Shinatse was just very different. When Mom was gone, she didn't seem to be too fazed. And it was almost like, well, now I'm going to be a normal cheetah. I don't have to run after my mommy anymore.
The sisters only have each other now, and the next few critical weeks will either make or break them.
A chirruping squirrel.
This morning, their forest home suddenly seems a lot more hostile. Their mother would know that the hyena is just nosing around for a convenient takeaway. but they're not so sure of its intentions.
Next, a rhino.
And then there are those giants that are always intimidating, no matter how grown up you are.
One of the cubs climbs up into a tree as a pair of rhinos quietly stroll about. After a few moments, she clambers down and trots away, and next, she's walking along with her sister.
And here, to make a bad day worse, are the baboons.
One of the many baboons shouts out.
The young cats have learned to have a healthy respect for the troop.
The baboons chase them.
Shanatse still bears a scar from her ill-fated encounter as a cub.
She growls at one of the monkeys. Then a baboon goes to attack a cheetah and they easily race away out of reach. The baboon tries to give chase, but they're too fast.
But with each passing moment, the sisters are becoming more self-assured. They can outrun the baboons at a leisurely trot. And now they have one less enemy to fear in the forest. For the baboon, it's a bit humiliating trying to chase the fastest animal on land. As they begin to patrol their forest as adults, a daunting reality soon confronts them. If they're to survive, they'll have to apply their mother's hunting lessons. First, climb a tree. Scan the area for suitable prey. Too big.
A zebra.
Too tall.
A giraffe.
Way too big.
An elephant. The sisters walk along while the sun is low on the horizon. A herd of frolicking impala.
Just right. Kim had been an intimate witness to the milestones in their lives almost from the start. But the ultimate test of their mother's success was still to come.
You know, I'd see them catch small prey, but one day they'd have to catch adult impala like their mother.
They see an opportunity.
Two rams locking their horns.
It's summer's end, and shorter days have triggered the annual impala rut. Throughout the forest, rams are jousting for the right to mate.
The rams are engrossed in their fight, while a giraffe grazes nearby.
Days of fighting have weakened the contenders. If the sisters hope to succeed today, they need to work together. And they seem to have a plan. Chinzi sneaks off to lie in ambush. Using the forest as cover, Shanatse stalks closer to the ram, aiming to flush it out.
The cheetah pads silently through the undergrowth, her head down a little, and her shoulder blades moving like pistons.
All their mother's teaching has culminated in this crucial moment.
The cheetah watches the impala with her amber eyes. The impala seems oblivious as it wanders past a tree, but the cheetah's still moving. The impala sniffs at the ground, but then realizes that something's up.
Shanatse launches the attack. Chinzi gets ready and leaps into action.
Jumping down from the tree, Chinzi's close to the impala as the rest of the herd races away. Chinzi's on the creature's back and is joined by Shanatse. The sun casts a golden glow over the kill, and dust is thrown up by the scuffle. One of the cheetahs has the impala by the neck. It grips the creature around the head, and after a few moments, the beast is on the ground. One of the cheetahs has blood around her mouth, while the other keeps her grip on the impala's neck.
They've done it.
Sometime later, one of the sisters is walking through the brush, while the other's lying on the ground in the shade. Tiny insects buzz about.
They'd killed their own impala, and once I'd seen that they were successful and looking after themselves, it was just time that the project should come to an end.
The one on the ground lays her head down lazily, watching her sister.
They were going off on their own, and they weren't going to stay together for long, and I was going to go off and do my thing.
In the months that followed, Kim no longer spent his days with the sisters, and he began filming a wild dog family. But there was one farewell still to come.
One of the sisters in the tall grasses.
I finished working with them and I hadn't seen them for a year. And I was going for this walk and I saw this cheetah in the distance and I start whistling and doesn't even look at me. And eventually I get closer and she still doesn't look. Now I realize that it's Chinzi. So I go and I sit down a couple of meters from her and she still doesn't look at me. And I'm thinking, come on, chick, I haven't seen you for a year. Surely you can acknowledge my presence. I mean, we were quite good buddies at one stage. And then
Kim thinks for a moment.
A couple of minutes later, she got up and she came to me. And she started licking my face.
He's emotional.
And that, for me, is, you know, why I do what I do, because it's so special.
One of the cheetahs, standing in wildflowers.
It was very special.
The cheetah pads slowly away.